welcome to the very first episode of Hashing It Out with Javi. And I felt it would only be right if my first guest was my son. Welcome, Christopher.
Hello.
Hey, that's my boy. Today we're going to be talking about random things. So I think I wanted to touch on something because people keep asking me what the podcast is going to be about, what topics we're going to talk about, those kinds of things. The reality is I'm going to be interviewing people from all walks of life. You could be progressive, conservative. You could be pro-gay. Like, you could be whatever you want to be. I don't care. I don't want to like shoehorn myself or put myself in a box when it comes to what we're going to talk about. But today's episode is going to be about me and my son, because I think it's only fitting that he's the biggest part of my life. And obviously, I love this kid. He's a good dude. And we'll just talk about random things, right? So let's start it off by let's talk about the Rona life.
The Rona life.
Tell me about
lack thereof.
Exactly. Tell me about your lifestyle right now, man. What's going on with the Rona life?
Don't really do much. I just stay at home, do online school. Everything's online.
Yeah. So how's that going though? Like online school, like are your teachers? Well, let me ask this, because I know it's difficult, because the reality is that teachers have a new realm and a new kind of landscape and how they're doing things. And I know it's new for you guys too, but you guys grew up with technology.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
So how are the teachers doing?
I feel like the teachers are doing worse just because they have to do like double the work while we're doing like less.
So wait, who's
essentially.
So who's being lazy? You or the teachers?
I think both. I think we're just doing what we can to get by.
Okay.
And what I've heard from like even like really smart straight A students agree with that.
Yeah, it's crazy because like you kids have been put into this whole thing that's a new thing. And for you personally, like, it makes me a little bit sad. Not a little bit, a lot of it sad. That's your senior year, right?
Yeah, everybody was crying last year. It's like, oh, we don't get a graduation. Da, da, da. I don't get a senior year.
You don't get a senior year. Exactly. And you already missed like homecoming.
I don't get
right?
any senior activities.
Like homecoming would have been around this time, right? I would assume.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you missed like homecoming. You might miss prom. You might even miss like, you know, walking for your senior year get your degree, right? Like we have to do a drive-by. What the fuck? That's so weird.
I think that hopefully we'll be back to school by the time I graduate at least.
I genuinely and absolutely hope so.
Because they're considering sending us back in January.
In January? Is that
yeah.
the deal?
They said most likely, but they're like, that's not for sure.
So they're going to wait like basically to figure out if the flu season is going to be bad or not.
I guess so.
Is the flu going to get you? You know, the Rona lifestyle, it's just we're living in really, really weird times. And I don't know how I feel about it, because I feel like I feel like when this first started, there was definitely an extreme worry.
Yes.
Because we were shown videos like in China where people were like falling over and dying in the streets. And that was, we all got kind of worried, right? I mean, we ran out of toilet paper for Christ's sake, right? But your butt was always good because I got you.
Yep. We got them wipes.
We got those wipes, bro. And we got bidets too, you know what I mean? Just in case. We got bidets on deck. Keep those nalgas clean is what I'm saying.
Yep.
So, yeah. So, how else has it affected you? Has it affected you in any other way? Like, I mean, what about like I know a lot of people may not know about my son, but my son has found an absolute passion and love and devotion to dance. He's a hip hop dancer, right? And, I've never seen my son be more happier or excited in his life other than when he's dancing. Like, it's just his thing. And I'm excited because a lot of people don't find their thing. This kid found his thing when he was what, man? What do you think about 13?
13.
Yeah, you found your thing. And man, my thing was chasing women at 13. You know what I mean? So I'm super stoked that you found your thing. Like, that's fucking amazing. Like, it's absolutely amazing. But how's your dance life been affected by like what's going on? Like, do you get to dance still? Like, are you still part of the same crews? Not part of the same crews? Like, what's going on with that?
Well, I do get to dance still, but it's a lot less limited to like one day a week. We got to wear masks. And
wait, you got to wear a mask when you're dancing?
Yep.
What?
Gets real sweaty underneath.
So like if you were Patrick Swayze, you'd be like a sexy Patrick Swayze with a mask on? That's silly. Really? A mask?
Yeah. You got to wear a mask.
Wow. And do you have to like stay 6 feet apart? Like you can't dance with your partner?
With the crew I'm on, we don't really. I mean, yeah, but they're kind of like, you know, if you're okay with, you know, then.
So you guys are checking temperature pretty much?
Sure, yeah.
Yeah, okay, we're going to say they're checking temperature. I mean, but I mean...
Because most of the people, you know, like, I know that the only time they go out is when we see each other. Gotcha. So
that's kind of your social thing.
Yeah.
And so you guys are just hanging out.
And I've known these people for, like, since I was, like, a freshman in high school. So.
That's good, though. Well, yeah, I mean, it's cool that at least you guys still have an outlet to kind of... you know, to hang out, an outlet to kind of let loose a little bit. I know this is just like, again, it's just a weird time and I don't know what's going to come of this, but I feel like after the elections, like it's all going to be gone. Like,
oh yeah,
we're going to like, I think come like December, we're all going to be having Christmas together and people are going to be like, oh, the Rona was bullshit. Like, you know what I mean? And it's not bullshit, man. I'll be honest with you. You know me, right? And I lost a friend to this, a really good friend. He was, a good friend, and he, you know, he passed away from this, and I know multiple people who passed away from this, so it's a real thing.
Yeah.
but at what point do we, and I'm going to say this as respectfully as I can, at what point do we stop reality and society because of something that's affecting people that have pre-existing conditions and those kinds of things, right?
Like, yeah.
It's just a weird time, man. It sucks that you're a young man growing up in this time. You know, I wish that you had a different reality right now. But
yeah,
hey, when this is said and done, we're going to party hardy. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'm just sad that I get to miss. Because, like, now that I'm older, I would have loved to have gone to, like, Halloween Horror Night, to, like, Universal Studios this year and go through, like, the scary mazes and stuff.
Yeah.
I think that would have been really cool, but.
Yeah, for sure. We'll do that next year.
Next year, yeah.
For sure. And, you know, it's just. We're gonna definitely we're definitely gonna party hardy after this, and I think honestly our family was really really careful when this happened.
First started, yeah. For sure.
We were like doomsday
walking
preppers
on eggshells.
Well, we were like doomsday preppers, right? We were like, oh, grandma was running around grabbing food for everybody. You know, I was running around buying food. I am kind of a prepper myself in general. Like, I already had a lot of stuff for us, but I think.
We still have toilet paper in the extra closet.
Yeah, we have lots of toilet paper. We never ran out of toilet paper, you know? People were finding out toilet paper, and I was worried about bullets. You know what I mean? Like, how many bullets can we get, you know? But yeah, anyway, so let's talk about your generation. You know what I mean? I know that you and I, so a little bit of dynamic for people that are listening. I've been raising Christopher alone since he was 10 years old. It's just been him and I. Our dynamic is beautiful. We love each other. We're a good combo, father and son, but we have our challenges, right? Like, I mean,
yeah.
And I think our challenges are that we really are a lot alike.
A lot, too much alike.
Right? Like, we're too much alike, so we bump heads, you know, like any typical father-son would do. But tell me a little bit about your generation. I mean, I think your generation's a little bit different, and I think that's where we bump heads because, well, maybe not. I think you and I are more alike when it comes to those thoughts. But
yeah, for sure.
And I talk a lot. And I talk a lot about tough subjects. But I talk a lot about tough subjects, and I do that with you on purpose because I want to hear kind of where your mind's at, because I want to understand your generation. I think your generation is a little bit twisted.
I agree.
Maybe screwed up a little bit, but, and I say that with all due respect, because it's not their fault, it's society's fault, right? We're raising kids who have this idea that society is so beautiful and it's so loving and so caring. And if it's not nice, then we should fight back against it. And the reality is that's not life, right? Like, I mean, tell me a little bit about kind of how you feel about life in general when it comes to people your age, you know what I mean? And I think I say this and I'm asking this question because I think you're an old soul. I really do. I think you see things differently. And I think it gives me hope for the next generation. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, my generation, I think they're not, I don't think it's intentional, but a lot of kids in my generation tend to be sort of ignorant towards a lot of things, like to take things at face value and, you know, not everything's black and white.
Yeah. Maybe they're not ignorant. Maybe they're just taking what's fed to them.
Yeah.
Kind of society's feeding
value,
them that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of topics we could talk about, right? I mean, we could talk about equality. We could talk about gender. We could talk about all these crazy things, right? And I think your generation is kind of taking it, running with it. And maybe ignorance is a strong word, but maybe it's the right word. I don't know. I mean, the reality is they tend to, and I say that, your generation tends to kind of just believe what social media feeds them. And I think social media is a big problem.
It is.
Yeah, let's talk about that. So when I talk to you, like, I have a big following on Instagram, right? Like a huge following, right? Not huge, but it's big. But
okay, it's, Mr. Big Man.
No, it's not huge at all by any means. But I have a lot of people that follow me and kind of they're going to hear this podcast. They're going to know what we're talking about. But I think social media really influences your generation. And I think when it comes to social media, people really kind of put their best out there, right? Like, oh, this is my best looking picture with filters and makeup. Like, I see people out there that put a picture out there, and I'm just going to be honest. I know them in real life.
They don't look nothing like that. Dude,
hopefully they never go missing, because if you put that picture on a milk carton, we'll never
find them. I just don't get it, because, like, if the goal, like, people are going to see you in real life, so what's the point of making your pictures look like a different person?
Yeah. It's like I tell people all the time, I'm like, hey, there's going to be no fat fishing going on here because I'm fatter in real life. You know what I mean? Like, let's be honest here. You know what I mean? And I think it's weird, though. So we're living in and people love to say that social media is just social media, but it is reality today. It's a big part of reality today. And a lot of kids, a lot of people, even, you know, a lot of adults live their life on social media. Hey, everybody, sorry if you hear those kind of background noise. That's my dog.
It's our horse.
Yeah,
pony.
He's a half horse. He's a boxer. He's a spoiled brat. But back to social media. So tell me how social media kind of plays into your life with you and your friends and stuff. Like, is it an important thing? Is it not an important thing? How does your generation feel about social media?
I know with me and my friends specifically, we're not super social media oriented. Oriented. We don't really like check our likes all the time, and we don't really talk about social media. Kind of just use it here and there. Like, I don't post pictures that often.
So it's not really that important, at least in your
circle.
Not
for me.
Not for you guys, yeah. But would you say it's important for other young people?
Yeah.
It's like really
important,
right?
Some kids obsess over it, and it's like shaped. It's definitely shaped our culture, like for my generation, for sure. Because like a lot of things that like shape our sense of humor or maybe even our personalities come from social media, for sure.
Would you say it's almost unhealthy?
Oh, it's very unhealthy.
Yeah.
It's very unhealthy.
It's very unhealthy, right? So there's a documentary that came out, and I really am asking everybody who is a parent or anybody who is going to use social media, but especially if you're parents, to watch. It's called The Social Dilemma. It's on Netflix. The Social Dilemma really talks about and ties into how people that design social media, whether it's Facebook, whether it's Instagram, they design it to be addictive. It's addictive to the brain, right? So when we go back and we look at likes, oh, we have 100 likes. It's important to me. Like, it makes you feel good. So you go back and you keep looking for likes and looking for likes. It's almost borderline disgusting in the way they design. They designed an addictive thing, right? So it's not cigarettes. It's not being an alcoholic. But you're definitely being tied to these things that are, like, making you feel good in some way. And it's a habit in the brain. And I see when it comes to kids, it's pretty bad. And if you look at, like, other things, right? So let's talk about this. It's a tough topic, right? So the topic I'm going to bring up is women, right? Women who see a body like a certain body type on social media, right? They see it on TV, in Hollywood, in social media. Like, oh, my God, I got to look like that. I think that's a real problem.
It is, for sure. I know. I have a few female friends that they're always like, oh, look at this picture. Like, I want to be just like her. Da, da, da.
Right.
And I'm always like, you know what? Those people always FaceTune their pics. Yeah. She probably doesn't even look like that anyways.
Or they have teams of Photoshoppers. Yeah. Man, you know? Like, and I think it's really tough because I know there's definitely men out there who they work out, they lift or whatever, and they want to feel better about their bodies. Yeah, I get that. But I don't see as many men as I do women kind of like literally mutating their bodies under the knife, right? Like, to feel good and to feel sexy about themselves, like to feel attractive. And Hollywood is really genuinely, absolutely, and social media is kind of portray this image that's almost unattainable, you know? And I worry, and it's more than just physical bodies. It's also just a lifestyle, right? So everybody on social media, what are they doing? They're saying, this is the best part of my life, right? Like, you've seen guys that, like, throw, like, this crazy, you know, 75-yard jump shot into a basket.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They probably took that 120 times, and the one time they got it on camera is the one time they show.
Exactly. They're all, like, intensive workouts, you know, let's show this off with like no consistency maybe, or, you know.
Right. They're just showing their best, right? Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, they're just showing the one time that it worked, but they're not showing the work ethic, which is crazy because, you know, we have to understand that everything requires work and dedication, right? When you were a young man, just a baby boy, what did I used to ask of you?
If you want something, dedication.
Right. If you want something in life, what does it take?
Hard work and dedication.
Absolutely. And what's the most important thing in life?
Education.
Right. And what's the most important thing about education?
Reading.
Yeah. So this is things I've been teaching my kids since he was young, like hard work, dedication, like, you know, nothing comes easy and nothing comes free. Nothing's been given to our family. It'll never be given to us. We have to work for it, you know? And social media is kind of portraying a thing like where it doesn't require work. It just happens.
Oh, yeah. It just happens.
All of a sudden it goes viral for no reason. Nothing goes viral for no reason.
Everybody thinks they can be an internet influencer. Everybody swears.
There's
like people in my school that get like, 20,000 likes on like a TikTok they post, and they swear they're influencers.
They're influencing society, right? Nothing goes viral by accident unless you're the dude with the feathers on the back of his head drinking a Capri Sun on a skateboard, singing Stevie Nicks, right? Let's talk about that guy. That guy blew up big time.
He did.
Big time. And what's crazy is your generation never even heard of Fleetwood Mac.
That's crazy to me.
Let alone Stevie Nicks.
Right? Let alone Stevie Nicks. Yeah. That's crazy. And you, a lot of, it makes me so angry. I don't know, not angry, but I get kind of disappointed where like there's like an old song that like blows up on TikTok. And then like I hear kids my age being like, oh, that song from TikTok. You're like, no, that's not that song from TikTok. That's Stevie Nicks. That's Stevie Nicks singing.
You're like, dude, I knew the song already. Like, we know good music in this house, you know? And what's crazy about that song, too, it's funny because I think this is one thing that nobody's talking about. And I'm not being a hater, by the way. Dogface, I think it's Dogface 420 or something.
Yeah, yeah.
He's an awesome dude. I've reposted him many times. Everyone's like vibing. I'm vibing. I'm vibing. This is vibes. This is vibes. But that song is totally about like being cheated on. It's definitely not a vibing song. The beat to it's amazing, though, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's funny, man. So let's talk about some of this stuff. Tell me a little bit about, you know, just life in general. I mean, I know a lot of people want to get to know us, and a lot of people don't know us, and a lot of people ask me about you and stuff, and I'm always like, it's funny because I still refer to you as my nugget.
The man of mystery over here.
But, you know, I still call you Nug, right? I call you my Nug, and I call you my Bugs, and I kind of just want to tell people the reason why I call my Nugget is because he's always my little Nugget since he was a boy. He's always going to be that. He's a young man now. He's taller than me. Bastard. Just kidding, I love him. But
we're not all made equal.
Yeah, exactly. But some people are like, hey, why do you call him Bugs? And I'm like, oh, it's because he's my little booger, you know what I mean? It's my Bugs. And so we have kind of a crazy dynamic, and our life has been a wild ride.
Not exactly smooth.
Not exactly smooth. But hey, but we're here, and we've been doing good for a long time.
For a long time.
Yeah, and, you know, I just want people to know that sometimes, roads get rough. And if you're a single parent or you're put in that position, it gets better over time. You know what I mean? It gets better over time. A lot of patience, love, and those things really matter. Counseling, you know, right? I mean, Come on. We had an amazing counselor in our life. It took us years. And we're going to talk about that for a little bit. Mental health is a really important thing. And I don't think enough people pay attention to that. You know what I mean? And so, one thing I'm really bummed out about is it took us probably a good 2 years to find the right counselor.
Yeah.
That worked out for us. You know what I mean? And we found him, and he's amazing to this day. Still email him, call him, let him know that we love him and we care about him. An awesome dude. But it's hard to find help.
You know what I mean? It is.
It's really hard to find help.
And it's hard to give yourself to and give into that help as well.
Yeah. That's not easy, right? Like, we had to find the right person that both you and I could kind of confide in, you know? And here's the crazy thing. It wasn't until I found a guy who was solely about fathers and sons and broken men, because everything else was about women when it came to mental health. And that was crazy to me. It was really hard to find a man who was like, hey, dude. And you show up to his office and there's like Yoda in the corner and there's lightsabers everywhere.
And he was in a sort of similar situation as us.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. His life story was crazy. I mean, he had ran into a lot of situations, and he had a backstory that was very similar to us. And I think he grasped on us, you know, and I think it's just crazy to me that it's so hard for men to find help these days. You know, like if, it, you know, we talk about, you know, problems and this and that, but when it comes to men, there's really not a lot of help for men. And on my Instagram, I post a lot of stuff pro men, you know, like just kind of, but it's not really pro men. What it is that let's not forget about that men matter too. You know what I mean? And my son matters. You're going to be a man someday, right? You're a man now. I take that back. He's a young man. People, he's taller than me, the bastard. Nah, but he's a young man now. And we can't forget that, you know, we need to fix ourselves as well. You know,
yeah.
And that,
yeah.
That's an important thing, you know? So tell me a little bit about just life in general, man. Talk to me. Tell me about me, because I know you probably think I'm a bastard because I've been hard on him. Everybody, just so you know, one thing about Christopher that you guys should all know is things got rough for him about 10 years old when I got full custody of him. And I think the one thing I did that was tough, really tough, and probably the hardest thing I've ever done in my life was having to be hard on my son when he was broken. But
for
I was
sure.
I was never ever gonna be like, hey dude, we're gonna sit here and fucking cry in our laps. And I was like, no, we're gonna be tough here, and this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna tough it out. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your experience in life, man. Just talk to me.
Like, what do you mean?
Just my in general, experience. Man. In general, like tell me how life's going now for you, because I know we came from a tough place to where we're at now, and it seems to me like life is going good. You know
what I mean? Life is definitely going really good for me right now. I'm in stable relationships with my friends, and I don't really worry too much about what other people are doing anymore, and I kind of just, you know, I'm just happy. I don't live in the past. I don't stress about the future as much.
Yeah, that's life, right?
Yep.
I love it, man. I love it. I love it, love it, love it. I love where we're at right now. It's an important thing. So, you know, we talked about your dancing and stuff like that. Let's talk about something else. I think it's crazy, and I want other parents to chime in on this, because my son is a nutty gamer. And when I say nutty gamer, like, this kid, I'll be going to bed at like 2 a.m. after working a long ass day, because I work long hours, right? You know, Chris, right? I'm always busy.
You're working all the time.
Yeah, I'm always busy.
Even though you're home. Even though you're still working.
I'd be home, my chonies working, you know what I mean? But even though I'm home to my chonies working, like, I'm going all the time. And I'll walk into bed finally after a long day. This is often, by the way. This is almost daily. And I'll be walking to bed about 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'll hear Christopher in his room screaming on his damn mic to somebody about some fatality or some bullshit.
Sometimes I'm just laughing too loud.
Dude, how what's up with the gaming, man?
Well, I play with people who I know in real life, who I think are like funny people.
That's good.
So I just, I don't know. It's just fun to play video games with them and laugh all the time. And we don't take it as seriously as we used to, for sure.
I think it's pretty serious from what I hear. I'll be downstairs watching TV, working, and I hear, ah, goddamn you, mother. And I'll be like, what the hell is going on upstairs, man?
Well, sometimes they're not yelling at each other. We're just like,
yeah. All right. So let's talk about some more kind of different topics. So back to your generation, because I think your generation is an intriguing thing to me. How do you feel about the whole like gender topic?
Like, in what context?
Like, is like being a binary gender, is that a thing? Like, can you wake up one day and be like, oh, I feel like a woman today, but tomorrow I feel like a man? Is that weird in your generation, or is that a thing?
I have not met somebody who is like that, and I'm also not somebody who is like that, so I wouldn't know.
Right.
I can't really, like, I don't know.
So you can say from your perspective, it's probably not a thing.
It's, yeah. Okay. Just from my perspective, but I wouldn't know. That's like asking me, like how women handle their emotions, but like, I don't know, because I'm not a woman.
You're not a woman. Yeah. I got it. Yeah, that makes sense. That makes sense. And so I guess what you're saying is that while you may not have that, you may not know somebody who's got that perspective in your life, you definitely won't judge that person if you did.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I wouldn't.
That's good. I mean,
I'd actually like to get insight just to understand,
right?
You know, how they feel, you know, what goes through their head.
Yeah, because this way you can make a better sort of determination or judgment, I guess. You know, yeah. Everyone hates to use that word. Don't judge me. Guess what? Everything we fucking do in life, we're getting judged. So fuck off. But my point is, like, you would actually want to get more information upon it with someone you knew personally to understand what's going on with them.
Yeah.
So, okay, that makes sense, man. How do you feel about all the craziness that's going on in the world right now? Like just think of like elections, rioting, George Floyd. Think of all these crazy things that are going on. Like your 2020 is insane. You're going to look back like 20 years from now and someone's going to like drive by honking. You're like, oh my God, it's my birthday. Cause you've been like trained to think like that's the thing, right? Like 2020 is insane. I think 20 years from now, just from experience in my life, you'll look back and go, holy shit, I went through some stuff, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Let's talk about like how do you feel about the Black Lives Matter movement? Like, is that like a thing that's important to your generation? I mean, I want to hear about your generation is what I want to hear about, you know, from your perspective, by the way.
It is very important for our generation specifically, just because a lot of what I've heard from people is like people from my generation and, you know, how they feel or, you know, what they think.
Right. So it's super important. And why do you think it's like really important? I mean, let me ask you this way. Do you feel that people of color are definitely being held down and we need to voice out our opinions today? Like, is that a real thing? Like, is that a real thing today?
I do think in specific areas, yes. But I do think sometimes some people do take it a little too far.
Do you mean like rioting and stuff like that?
Maybe, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think for me,
just on like, you know, like you wouldn't want to destroy a small local business.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's, you know, struggling.
Right.
Financially.
Right. Your grandparents have a small business. Can you imagine? And your grandfather literally swam the river to get here. And now he's a naturalized citizen. Right. I mean, he's somebody that we look up to. Everybody in the family. He was like.
Definitely the patriarch of the family.
My stepfather is a fucking absolute amazing man and an amazing human, right?
Yeah.
He came here, he swam here over the river literally to get here. And now he owns a business and multiple houses and homes, and he's doing great.
Helped raise everyone's kids too.
He came here illegally initially. He became a naturalized citizen over time. He went through the ranks to become a citizen. And he's not upset about these things, and I can only imagine he's upset about the injustices, but he's also upset about, I would assume, and I know of people destroying businesses, like local, like you said, local businesses like that. Who the fuck owns a local business that is that doesn't care about this kind of movement? You know what I mean? This movement's important, right? Obviously, like I think I had a friend of mine say it a few weeks back, and he said, you know, when it comes to Black Lives Matter, when it comes to the racial part of it, the racial inequality part of it, I'm all on board. I'm right there with them. I fully understand it, and I'm with them, and I will go march with them and fight with them. But that's where it stops. Because as soon as it becomes rioting, as soon as it becomes talking about Marxism, which is basically socialism, which is basically communism.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But as soon as we start talking about like, hey, if you're a doctor, you make as much as somebody who sweeps floors. Like, no, that's insane, right? Like, it's just an insane topic. So it's good to know that your generation has a mindscape and a view, at least you, and maybe that's because you're raised by me. It's crazy, right? But these are crazy topics, man. I mean, you talk about gender, Black Lives Matter movement. I mean, let's talk about, like, let's go to politics for a little bit.
Okay.
Let's talk about the orange man. How do you feel about the orange man? And keep in mind that no matter what we say on this podcast, people are going to fucking persecute us. And the reality is, like, let's talk about politics a little bit, because I think it's an important thing. It's a huge topic, right? It's what's going on right now, right? I mean, we're gonna have the elections, they're coming up, and these elections, wow, I'm so fucking bummed out.
Yeah, I think we all are, you know.
Yeah,
the hashtag is settle for Biden for people of my generation, because they don't want him either, but that's the party who they're gonna go for. Right. Just don't want Trump.
And it's not like,
which I understand.
Yeah, oh, totally, right? Yeah. So like for me, people are like, I fucking hate Trump, he's a piece of shit. I'm like, dude, he's not the greatest thing, and I definitely don't like him. He's not a good example of American excellence.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
He's not an example of American excellence by any means. He's a fucking dumb dumb when it comes to speaking, but obviously he's doing something right business wise, right? And I can respect that.
Very calculated.
Yeah. It's just absolutely right. Very calculated. But then you have Biden, right? Biden can barely complete a coherent sentence, right? Like he is like, it's like, dude, he is so old that if he comes in office, here's the crazy thing, right? Let's say we vote Biden in. He comes in, he may not make it the next 4 years. And then we have Kamala Harris, right? And Kamala Harris, Kamala is an Indian name, by the way. When she first came in, she was talking about being the first Indian, right? In her in her part of politics. And now it's like, because it fits the narrative, like she's like, now I'm the first black woman, right? To run for vice president. And it's like, I get it. I understand. But man, they're using us. And I'm tired of people being used. You know what I mean? I'm tired of our people. When I say our people, I mean Latinos.
Yeah.
We're a huge part of this population.
Huge.
Huge.
Especially in the area we live in.
I think I was looking at stats, and there's a great documentary that everyone should watch. It's called The Latin Explosion. And it touches on how not Mexicans, not just Mexicans. Well, although we should make it known, though, but it's known that a big portion, the majority portion of Latinos in America are Mexican.
Yes.
With that said, that's just because we were part of this land before.
Same continent.
Yeah. The borders.
Same area.
Yeah. The borders crossed us. We didn't cross the border. Yeah, you know what exactly. I mean? So that's all that means. But, you know, Puerto Ricans, Cubans, Salvadorians, like Guatemalans, like, you know, all these people that would be considered Latinos, like we are a huge part of the voting population, but we don't fucking vote.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, we don't vote. And you know me, I'm very political. We talk about politics all the time. You know, we sit down at the dinner table and we're bullshitting about politics and about life and the economy, right? That's what we do, right? And it's sad. It's very sad to me that we don't talk about these things and we don't have our people vote because I think I watched Per and I'm gonna paraphrase from what I remember from that documentary, but basically they said in that documentary that I think 1 in 5 people was a Latino voter like a few decades ago, but literally in like 20 years 1 in 3. That means a third of the population is gonna be Latino, and a big part of that population is Mexican, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And we gotta start voting, and it's not about the president. You know,
yeah.
It's not about the president. It's about voting in your local elections.
Yep.
You know, right? It's about voting your local elections. It's about voting your senators, your representatives, the people that are going to cast the vote for you actually for the president.
Yeah. And not also, about the popular vote.
100%. Yeah. And it's crazy, right? Because you and I talk about that too, right? Like, it's crazy that most people that are voting or hate Trump have no idea what the Electoral College is.
Yeah. And they're voting just for the popular vote.
Yeah.
And it's not good.
It's not good. Yeah, yeah. So local elections matter, voting for your bills, you know what I mean? Whether or not like Uber's got a big bill on the bill coming up here, on the election rather, coming up here, about whether or not their workers can remain as contractors or not, right? The entire point of people being able to do Uber and Lyft and those things is that they can work when they want to work.
Yeah, their hours. Their hours.
Yeah, and they're their own employee basically, right? And Uber's basically said, if it doesn't pass, my apologies, I'll look into it. You should too. But if it doesn't or does pass, in either way, that workers are no longer can be contractors, that basically they're going to pull out of California.
Dude. Wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah. So that means, well, thank God you got a car. Thank God I bought you a car. But can you imagine being somebody who wants to go home drunk after a movie night or dinner or whatever, and you can't because Uber's not here anymore because the government said we want more taxes in some way, shape, or form? It's insane, right?
Yeah.
These things matter, man. These things matter. So anyways, we talked about politics. We touched on gender. Gender's crazy to me. It's really crazy to me. Because while I totally support your right to be what you want to be, like, I also kind of in a real old school way that might get me hung out to dry here, think that you
mobbed.
The mob mentality, right? We'll talk about mob mentality next. Like, I think you should just grab your junk and whatever you feel is the gender you are. You know what I mean? Now, that doesn't mean that you can't be you can't be a man who feels feminine, or you can't be a woman who feels masculine. You know what I mean? Those are the things. But at the end of the day, your gender is your gender. That's just me. I'm sorry, guys. Hate me. How you want. Whatever. I pissed off like 40 people right now. It's okay. I love you guys too. But let's talk about the mom mentality, right? Cancel culture.
Cancel culture.
Oh, tell me about what you think about that. That's insane.
I think a lot of people who I know would agree that cancel culture is very unhealthy for our society, especially if it's something from somebody's way, you know, somebody's past, like years ago, like 2012 maybe, or, you know, stuff like that.
So what you're saying is, like, if you did something 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, you're my age, right? I'm an old man. So 20 years ago, I made a lot of dumb decisions. We shouldn't be judged upon the worst decision we made in life versus the 90% of our life living as a good person.
Yeah, because everybody makes mistakes. The only difference is the people that get canceled have a platform. Yeah. So those mistakes are easily exposed. And we, you know, we mob them and pretend that they're terrible, disgusting people, which some are.
Sure.
But
Bill Cosby.
Yes, for sure. But some people, you know, just genuinely
Harvey Weinstein
made young mistakes, you know, which we all do.
Yeah.
We totally, all do.
Totally. Yeah. And that's the thing is, like, I think the cancel culture is a really poisonous, bad thing. You know what I mean? Because we all live our lives. We've all made mistakes. None of us are fucking perfect.
There's a difference between holding somebody accountable for their actions and just canceling them without any.
Totally.
You know.
Or just not. I mean, maybe you have. Not maybe not without anything. Maybe you have something on them. But it's that one thing, right? Like.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I mean.
You know what I mean? Like, Bill Cosby's a good example, right? Bill Cosby me too'd so many women with drugs. Like, Jesus. You can't have, like, I think it was like 50 or 60 women, maybe 40. I don't know. It was a lot of women, right? That came out and said, he did the same thing to me. Like, I would understand if it was three. I'd be like, okay, maybe they're lying because he probably had sex with 1,500 women for all we know. You know what I mean? He was a huge popular person. You know what I mean? But if you have like fucking 40, 50, 60 women could not say you did the wrong thing, that guy should be canceled, right? Like, he should be canceled. But to give an example, there's a coffee company where we live that somebody went on Facebook and said, did a very kind of intelligent thing, but a disrespectful and gross thing at the same time. So he was upset for whatever reason about a political spectrum, saying this person is conservative, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And he went online and on Facebook, he posted a post that was doctored and photoshopped and said, this woman here has a daughter who works at this coffee shop here, and they're Trump supporters and they're racist, and he doctored in racist writing into the post. And it looked really bad. And in the comments, it took off and it became viral locally, which was crazy because, like, thousands of people were talking about, like, you should hang this fucking owner of this coffee shop for hiring somebody like that. Like, it was really bad. It was, it was, the comments were disgusting. It was repulsive. It was not cool by any means. It turns out that there was, like, this really super leftist progressive Mexican guy, like, super college educated, who did this, and now he's being prosecuted for it.
Oh, wow.
He's being prosecuted for basically creating a false narrative and slandering people. And what's crazy is that the family of the business who was affected by this, it's a small business, like you said, small business, right? Hardworking people. They're Jewish. Crazy, right? Like, how do we get to the point where, like, we're canceling culture on people just because we can? That mob mentality to me is dangerous.
It is.
It's fucking dangerous. Tell me about, like, your generation. What I worry about your generation is there's going to be no such thing as anonymity anymore.
Because
you know what I mean? Like, when you grow older, like, your entire life is going to be out there somewhere in some data set somewhere. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that bother you?
Oh, it definitely does. I think your life should be, you know, not, it doesn't have to be private, but it should be held down and, you know, to a certain extent you should.
Right.
The world doesn't need to know about your business.
Right. Right. I mean, not being able to have your thoughts private. Can you imagine that? It's going to be out there. You know what I mean? It's going to be out there. It's going to be out there. It's going to be out there in a weird way. It's crazy to me. And I really, really, really worry about your generation because, well, let's waterfall this into a different discussion. So I call your generation the bubble wrap generation, right? Like, and it's a huge part to play with how we raised you guys. You know what I mean? And the time you guys live in, to be honest, because you guys grew up in a very prosperous time. Let's be honest. You know what I mean? When I grew up, you know what I mean? Like, I had a great childhood. I love my mom and my parents for what they did for me. And I say parents, meaning my stepdad, not my dad. My dad's a piece of shit. But my parents, for what they did for me, they did amazing. But things are different, right? Like, I had a beeper when I was like 13. You know what I mean? Like, that was amazing. I got a beeper. I got a fucking beeper, bro. Page me. You know what I mean? Page me so I can call you back on a payphone. Like, you guys have so much at your fingertips, just in your smartphones.
Yeah.
You know? And also, because times were so good for you guys, we were able to give you more than most generations before this, you know?
Yeah.
So when I say bubble wrap, I mean that, like, let's talk about things like where things went on with sports, for instance, right? I remember when you were young and you were doing soccer, and I coached your soccer team, by the way. I have no idea what the fuck I was doing, but I was coaching your soccer team. It was weird. And, you know, there was parents talking at that time about not keeping score, like, because we didn't want to offend the other team or not offend them, but hurt them, because if you won and they lost, then it would upset their feelings. Isn't that weird? Like, I mean,
it's very weird for sure.
Do we just forget about competition in your generation? Like, does competition matter?
Yeah. Most people like competition. So it wouldn't make sense for, you know, I think that says a lot about the parents and not the kids.
Right.
That the parents really wanted to not hurt the kids' feelings. But
100%.
You know, I bet those little 8-year-old kids were like, I want to win. You know, they want to just.
Yeah. You see, you think by nature they want to. But here's the thing. Here's what I worry about. And we'll close it out on this. You know what I mean? But here's what I worry about. I think what scares me the most is that our generation of parents did not equip your generation of children and young adults now to be able to handle the adversities that life is going to throw at them.
Oh, for sure.
You know what I mean?
A lot of kids are, you know, I've met some that are brought up to think that they're like the center of the universe, and yeah. You can see it in the way they act. And you know, they seem to wallow like in their own
greatness,
in their own greatness. And they think every issue they have is like, solely they're the only person that's ever felt that, and these
right
you can see it because they tend to shut people out and not because they think that you would never understand that their star-like, you know, presence went through, you know, it's something so traumatic.
It's so crazy, man. And I worry about that, because the reality of life is going to throw everything at you in the kitchen sink. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, everything in the kitchen sink thrown at you, and life don't give a shit.
Exactly. I've seen some people be very depressed over the most, you know, which, you know, some people handle things differently, but I've seen some people be very depressed over the most minuscule issues in their life.
Yeah. And you're like, what?
And I'm like, wow, Jesus. Yeah. I don't even, and you know, I'm like, I try to keep my emotions to myself. I don't really.
Yeah. That's good, man.
To talk to people about.
Well, but you do talk. Well, we talk about problems and issues and those kinds of things. But I'm just saying, like, I really worry about the fact that these kids these days are not equipped to deal with what life's going to throw at them. They're becoming, like, you're a young man now, right? You're 17 and a half. Yes, guys, I'm old. I have a 17 and a half year old.
6 months. Exactly.
17 and a half. Yeah, exactly. And he'll be 18. He'll be a man here. Well, he's already a man, but he'll be legally a man here in the next 6 months. And I really worry about his generation. I mean, they're the next generation that's going to float this country. And we have to really think about, are they ready for it? Because I don't feel like your generation is. Not your entire generation, because you make me proud, right? Like, I've been doing my best to teach you about life and trials and tribulations. And I make mistakes, man. That's the other thing people need to understand as a parent. Women, men out there that are doing the job on your own, even if you have a significant other in your life, you're going to make mistakes, man. We make mistakes. We're not all perfect. I make so many mistakes. That's just part of life.
Yeah. It's not easy.
But at the end of the day, you build that foundation. You create an amazing child like the one I have here sitting in front of me, man. I love you.
Love you too.
Love you very much. And everybody, thank you so much for listening in on this podcast. We appreciate you. My son appreciates you. and let's keep it going. And you know what? One last thing. Fuck 2020.